About 10 years ago, I worked at a cemetery. The money was good and it was relatively easy. All I really had to do was drive around in my truck and make sure no kids were causing trouble. Every night was exactly the same, and by then I'd already gotten used to the creepy nature of the job. After a normal night of work, I got off around 6 a.m. and headed home. I didn't usually go to bed until around 11 or so, and while I was getting ready at 10:30, I got a call from my boss. He asked me if I had seen anything last night, and I said no because I hadn't. He then told me that a grave had been defaced. I swore I didn't see anything though, especially not some group of kids which are typically the culprit. Anyways, he asked me if I could come back and help him clean it, and I agreed of course because I kind of felt like it was my fault. When I got there, I realized I had underestimated how horrible these writings on the grave had been. This was not the usual small writing or anything. There was writing all over the stone, with horrible words and markings. What made it so much worse was that when we were cleaning everything off, I was finally able to read who the person was. I will obviously not say the name for privacy reasons, but it was a child, only 8 years old when he passed away just a few months prior. I was filled with anger and sadness, unlike any I felt before. I mean, who does that to a kid? I stayed with my boss for a bit, as we checked some surveillance footage. This cemetery was huge though, and the only camera we had was on one building where the funerals were held, and it wasn't very big. And again, this was quite a long time ago, and cameras weren't what they are today. We didn't see anyone at all. My boss notified the town's office, as the cemetery is owned and run by the city, and for the next few weeks they had some new guys come out to go on watch with me from dusk to dawn. Those weeks went by without anything happening. Didn't see anyone or find any defaced graves. One of the guys rode around with me while the other one stayed near the entrance. I actually became good friends with my watch partner. We wondered and talked about what the defacer looked like, and after some time it seemed like we'd never get to know. Nothing was really happening anymore, and it kind of seemed like a one and done type of screwed up situation. Eventually, the other watch guards left due to the inactivity, and it was back to just me. Another week went by of nothing, before something happened again. One night, as I had just started my shift and began patrolling, I drove all the way to the back of the cemetery, got out, and began my walk, which I had to start doing to see if any graves had writing or whatnot. As I was getting to about where the kid's grave was, I realized that something was off. I was a couple hundred feet away from the kid's grave, and it was pitch black, but something looked out of place. I stared in that direction for a whole 30 seconds, getting a little creeped out even. Then I started walking closer, shining my dim flashlight all around the area. Once I was just 100 feet away, I shined my flashlight again at the kid's grave. The light barely reached that far, and in the dim, foggy darkness, I could see a black figure laying on the ground completely still next to the grave. Obviously, I was horrified. I didn't know if it was a dead body that had been dug up, or a living person trying to hide. I stepped closer, slowly, and once I was maybe 40 or 50 feet away, I almost got a heart attack as the figure jumped up and sprinted into the dark field of graves, completely disappearing in the darkness in just a few seconds. I stood in place, shocked, horrified, and confused. Once I got a hold of myself, I ran back to the truck and radioed for the police. Then I went back over to the kid's grave. I warn you, what I saw was really disturbing. In front of the gravestone was a hole. It wasn't a big hole, nothing done from a shovel, but more like someone's hands. It didn't even go very deep, maybe just a foot. Either way though, someone had tried to dig up this child's grave with their bare hands, and it made me sick. I'm not sure what the person was trying to achieve. And unfortunately, we never figured out who did it, but rest assured it never happened again. The town hired two new people permanently, and one of us always kept watch over that grave specifically, while the other two scouted the area. The city also had more people on watch throughout the day as well. To this day, that's been by far the worst thing I've seen while doing graveyard work. No ghosts, no creatures, just horrible human beings. I'm a community patrol officer for a neighborhood in southern Las Vegas. If you aren't familiar with his occupation, it's nothing like a police officer or anything. I'm just a regular 25-year-old that drives a small patrol vehicle around nice neighborhoods to make the residents feel safer. It's a pretty common thing around here, since there's a lot of rich neighborhoods right next to a violent city. On my patrols, I have to also report specific community violations. For instance, some housing communities require bushes to be trimmed every week, so if I see an overgrown bush, I have to report it and leave a note at the residence. It's petty, and I personally find it weird that people like to live in neighborhoods like that, but it gives me a job, so I can't complain too much. Anyway, I primarily work 8 p.m. to 3 a.m. It's an odd shift, but that's just how they schedule for some reason. I'd never seen anything strange before this incident. The only things I'd ever really see were groups of teenagers doing dumb shit at the parks at 1 a.m. But last week, I had something happen that was beyond disturbing, and I can't stop thinking about it. I was doing my regular patrol, which was a specific route we had to take during the middle, beginning, and end of our shifts. This was my mid-shift patrol, so it was about 10 p.m. and pretty quiet outside. During the drive, I have to check the community pools to make sure they are locked for the night. I pulled into the small parking lot and walked over to the gate. I quickly walked inside and checked the pool area to make sure nobody was still inside, then went back out and locked it. As I made my way over to my car, I noticed a hooded man sitting on one of the park benches not far from where I was. Both of his hands were in his pockets, and he seemed to just be staring at the ground. Honestly, I thought this dude was just waiting for his drug dealer or something, but I didn't know, nor did I really care. I got back in my car and continued on with my route. The community is large, and the routes take probably an hour to complete with no traffic. By the time I finished, it was just about midnight. For the next little bit, all I had to do was drive around the neighborhoods. I mindlessly moved the car through the streets for a while, before finding myself back by the pool, to which I noticed that the man was no longer sitting on the bench. I slowed the car a bit, looking around the sidewalks in the park purely out of curiosity, but I didn't see him anywhere. Not thinking much of it, I kept on. As I drove past the dark, empty park, I couldn't help but get an uneasy sense going through me. I don't know what it was, but something felt off. I continued for a few more minutes before pulling up to a stop sign and noticed a man on the side as if he was going to walk across. After a few seconds, I recognized him as the same hooded man from earlier. He slowly made his way across, but stopped halfway and turned to face me. Being only a few feet away, he quickly walked up to my window, trying to ask me something. I cracked the window slightly, and the man quickly asked me where a specific address was. Of course, I said I didn't know. Sure, I could have looked it up or given him a general direction, but the circumstances of the situation felt very off. Even more oddly, he didn't even have any emotion or response when I said I didn't know. He just stood in silence for a second, then repeated his question, exactly as he said it before. This was when I really started to get nervous and feel unsafe. I told him I needed to leave, quickly rolling up my window and beginning to move forward. The man didn't do anything as I drove off. Looking in my rearview mirror, he was just standing there in the middle of the road watching me drive away. I parked down by a nearby street by one of the houses, then collected my thoughts. It was a really weird encounter, but was it reason enough to call the police? I didn't know. As bad as it sounds, calling the police while at work is a big deal, and I didn't want to unless it was actually necessary. The big question that kept coming up in my mind, though, was why was he looking for that address? I decided to type it into my GPS, and it was just a few minutes away, inside the neighborhood I was patrolling. So, I got back on the road and made my way over to the address. When I arrived, it seemed like every other ordinary house at 1 a.m. All the lights were off, and nobody was outside. I parked on the other side of the street and waited for a bit, but not even 30 seconds later, the hooded man came into sight, walking down the sidewalk towards the house. I watched from my car as he walked up their driveway and up to their front door. He knocked a few times, then waited for a while before knocking again. Almost a whole minute went by before someone answered the door. Immediately, the hooded man slammed his body into the homeowner and fought his way inside the home. I was in shock, seeing something like this for the first time happening right in front of me. I controlled myself as soon as I could, though, and called the police. As I sat waiting in fear, I didn't see any movement for 2 or 3 minutes. I debated with myself whether or not to go in and try and help the homeowner. Honestly though, I was terrified and didn't want to make an already horrible situation even worse, so I stayed in my car. Suddenly, the front door moved a little, then swung open abruptly, followed by the hooded man sprinting out and running off down the street. The police didn't arrive until almost 10 minutes later. I don't know what took so long. I'm sure it wasn't anyone's fault, but part of me was furious. By then, the man was long gone, and the homeowner was laying inside, having been beaten so hard that he was unconscious. Over the next few days, more unfortunate information came in. The homeowner didn't recognize the man from anywhere, and barely even remembered the situation, but the guy also didn't steal anything from his house. This was very unusual, because the man had clearly known of the homeowner's address, and his only known goal was to hurt the homeowner. Thus, it didn't make much sense for the suspect to not be someone he knew. The whole thing was very strange, and it still makes me feel uneasy. It's only been a week since this happened though, so hopefully more information comes up, and the hooded man gets caught. I had recently graduated when this occurred a few years ago, and was taking full advantage of my summer vacation. I had started working full-time at the high school where I had just completed my studies, since I needed the money for college. My family had asked me to accompany them to my grandparents' home in Virginia, but I had declined because I had already purchased tickets for a concert that was set to take place on the very day we had to depart. I didn't mind staying behind at all. I mean, what 18-year-old doesn't want a house to themselves for a full week? Furthermore, I had no concerns that my neighbors would complain about the parties or cause me any kind of inconvenience because most of them were gone as well. I had a strong desire for some fried chicken that day, which took me out of the house. On my way back, there was an accident on the main road, causing a whole line of traffic, so I had decided to take a shortcut and was relying solely on Google Maps to get me home. I noticed a light turn on as I passed the mechanic shop along the route. It was another car, but this car had only one functional headlight, which was really weird. I distinctly recall finding it really odd that this automobile had abruptly turned on its light as I was passing, and I was even more alarmed when it departed behind me. But I was aware that I have a tendency to be paranoid and that I frequently wonder if someone is watching me and whether they have malicious intentions. I dismissed the idea as a weird coincidence and moved on. I started to stress out as I got closer to my neighborhood and realized that the car was still following me. My fear was increased by the fact that I was low on gas at the moment. I had two choices at this point. Either I turn around and drive home while the strange car pursues, or I just drive about and see if it follows or not. Driving around, however, seemed to be a very dangerous alternative because I wasn't sure what I would do if my car ran out of fuel in the middle of the road, leaving me trapped with this creep. I reasoned that I'd better take a chance in a familiar setting, rather than on the side of a lonely, dusky country road. Once this was decided, I pulled onto my street and felt my heart drop as the car with one headlight turned directly behind me. At this moment, I thought I was doomed. I started pulling into my driveway because there was nothing else I could do, and to my absolute horror, they started to follow me up. Now that I think about it, I believe I should have called the police, but at the time I was so engrossed in my own thoughts that the idea never even entered my head. I might have contacted my dad, who would have gotten his rifle if he was home, but he and the rest of the family were 12 hours away at the time. I stopped and placed my car in reverse when the car started to follow me up the driveway. They reversed in response, but they also came to a stop at the bottom, thus blocking my way out. I started moving forward again, but everything just kept repeating. I drove, they followed, I reversed, and they blocked my exit, over and over again a couple of times. Finally, I hurriedly pulled further up the driveway and swung my car around to confront them. They had already covered more than half of my driveway by this point. I was afraid, alone, and furious. I opened the car door and stepped out with my small pocket knife firmly in my right hand, and my headlights blazing directly into their face. Because I've always been naturally paranoid, as I've already mentioned, I used to keep a small knife between my seat and the car door. I shouted at them, holding the knife out. I merely hoped that they would be panicked. I think they might have believed I was a girl or weak, or maybe had not expected me to react so aggressively. They backed out of my driveway gradually and slowly made their way down the street. but then they parked their car by a neighbor's house down the road, and through the darkness, I could see someone get out. It was at this point that I began to think more clearly, and quickly ran inside and called the police. I then went over to the front window, looking out at the dark neighborhood streets, but couldn't see any movement. My adrenaline was fading, and I began to panic even more than I was when I was standing in the driveway. Just then, footsteps were heard running around the outside of my house, followed by a nearby window shaking as they tried to forcefully open it. I was terrified and losing my mind in the panic of the moment. The man continued to run around the house, testing every door and window, trying to force them open. I knew I kept everything locked, but I was worried he may still find a way to break in. I ran upstairs and locked myself in the bedroom, then called 911 again to ask for an update. I was thankful to hear that they were in the neighborhood less than a minute away. The man began banging against the front door, yelling for me to open it. Two cop cars pulled into the driveway just in time though, and surprisingly, the man didn't run or anything. I washed through the windows as they put him in cuffs, then I made my way outside to greet the officers. The guy was trying to convince one of the cops that he wasn't doing anything wrong, but of course the cop wasn't buying it. Anyway, long story short, it turned out the man was heavily under the influence of both drugs and alcohol at the time. He never explained what his plans for following me or trying to break into my house were, but considering his state, it couldn't have been good. Luckily, I don't have to worry about seeing him for a long time.